How many of you have ever gone through a season in your life when God was doing something in your heart, but you failed to recognize it until He revealed it to you a number of months later? You ever been there? When we go through a season like that, more than likely there's many things we're focused on that we're involved in and are going on around us that we miss, that causes us to miss what God is doing in our lives, but He's quietly and steadily working. But then all of a sudden, God opens our eyes and reveals what we've been missing. And when He shows us what He's been doing, it's almost like it's a sneak attack, because we never see it coming. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is that I've been experiencing one of God's sneak attacks the last couple of weeks. And over the last several months, He's been doing something in my own heart that I did not recognize that He was doing. And last Sunday, I briefly mentioned that the Holy Spirit had been revealing some things to me. Well, what He's been revealing to me are things that He's been doing in my heart that I didn't recognize. And He's also been reminding me of some other things I lost sight of and honestly even forgot. And finally, He's been impressing upon my heart some different ways that I believe He wants me to respond to what He's been doing. Well, what I believe the Lord wants me to do this morning is share with you some of the things that He's been revealing to me, plus share the process He's been taking me through to reveal them. Because what He's been working in me over the last several months does have a significant amount to do with not only what He's shaping in me as one of His children, but how He's been shaping me as a pastor. And then I believe that how He's been shaping me as a pastor has a significant amount to do with how He wants to shape all of our hearts as a church so that we will be moved to go to where He's leading us. Before I get into what I believe He wants me to share at that level, I want to emphasize that what I'll be sharing is directly connected to what I preached last Sunday from Ezekiel chapter 47. And so this morning, because I want to make that connection, I'm just going to give a brief review of what we covered last week. The text was Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, and we saw some foundational truths about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and what will happen when God's people carry and distribute His anointing beyond the walls of where they gather. The time in Israel's history where the passage picks up is 25 years after the nation of Israel has been exiled in Babylon. And at that time, Ezekiel the prophet was given multiple visions of a future temple that would be built in Israel. At that time, one of the visions that Ezekiel saw was a river that flowed out from underneath the right side of the temple, and it became increasingly deeper the further that the temple flowed away from the river flowed away from the temple. At about 1,000 cubits away, Ezekiel said the water became ankle deep. After another 1,000 cubits away, the water became knee deep. After another 1,000, it became waist deep. And finally, after another 1,000, it became a river that couldn't be crossed. And although Ezekiel's vision was a revelation of actual events that would occur sometime in the future, many of the physical realities he writes about in the passage also served as types and shadows of spiritual realities that now exist under the new covenant. The types and shadows we looked at were, number one, the temple, which was a type and shadow of the body of Christ being the temple of the Holy Spirit. The water that flowed out from underneath the temple was a type and shadow of the living water Jesus talked about in John 7:37 through 39, which John also mentioned was a reference to the Holy Spirit. And as the water became a river, it flowed out into the Dead Sea, and it healed its waters. And as we described, the Dead Sea has no inlet or outlet. And so whatever's in there, it's a very salty sea, and there's no life in the Dead Sea. So this is descriptive. If the waters of the temple are flowing quite a distance, and somehow they've got to make their way because there is no inlet to the Dead Sea, and it's healing the waters that are in the Dead Sea. And it's also healing and giving life to every moving creature. And what's interesting about what we see here is that the water that flowed and the transformation that occurred is actually a type and shadow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and how it can transform an environment of death and create an environment of life. And so we're seeing a lot of connections here within this passage to the new covenant. And one of the applications that I shared last week that I believe the Lord is bringing to us is if the people of God are truly penetrating into the cities of our nation and they are carrying and distributing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, or if they will, I believe the healing that can come from the anointing that is carried out there, like this river was healing things, I believe that it can begin to change the spiritual climate and environment even over a city. That the presence and power of God, which is what the anointing is, has the ability to change a climate over a region. You understand there is an environment that we live within. Sometimes we can be so caught up in it, we don't recognize it. But how many know there's a lot of environments in cities across this nation that need a change? But it's going to require that the people of God go out into that environment and they bring the anointing with them to bring that change about. Well, we saw how also the trees along the banks of the river were types and shadows of God's people. As trees who receive our sustenance from the river of life, the Holy Spirit, the living water, we as God's people can then produce spiritual fruit that nourishes others. And our leaves, if you will, can bring healing to people. Now, when we talk about the fruit and the leaves, I also believe they are a type and shadow. I believe the fruit is a type and shadow of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many know people need the fruit of the Spirit, and they need to experience it from God's people? How many think that fruit could nourish and change people's lives? But then I also believe the leaves are a type and shadow of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because their function is to edify and to bring healing in various ways into people's lives. And so we're called to go out so that people can experience and taste and see that the Lord is good and they can find healing for under His wings. Amen. But you and I are the carriers of that anointing. And finally, we concluded with emphasizing that just as the water flowed from the temple, the living water of the Holy Spirit must also flow out of us. But now, since we are not like an immobile temple made of stone, we must be the carriers. And that the anointing must go out from just where the church gathers so that it can be distributed into the world. And the more we do this is what I believe this passage is really showing us, the greater the Holy Spirit's anointing will increase and bring people to Christ and do supernatural signs and wonders. See, we often think that's supposed to happen inside the gathering place. But I'm convinced there's only a limited amount that can be done in the gathering place. Oh yes, we love to experience the moving of the Spirit of God and touch our lives. We hunger for that. We long for that. But I believe if the church begins to carry it out there, where the desperation is even deeper and broader and greater, that God is pleased and desires, because His heart is for the lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not the sick who need a, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of our Father. And He wants us to have His heart, to take that gospel out to this world, to take the anointing, not just in word only, but in power and in love. As I mentioned, yes, we do need to gather. We need to gather to be edified and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see this in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 and Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. You know, the Bible says, let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Do not forsake the assembling together as is the habit of some, but do so all the more as you see the day, capital D, approaching Christ's return. Ephesians, 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's talking about building one another up. Yes, we need to do that. But as I shared, it needs to function like breathing. It needs to function in the sense that yes, we need to take in. We need to breathe in the life of God. We have that. But if all we do is inhale and hold our breath, we're going to die. We have got to exhale the water, the living word. This is the breath of God. Of course, the Holy Spirit is described in many different ways. But as we exhale, but true life comes in the breathing in and the breathing out. And the breathing in and the breathing out. And life continues, and it can even grow. Church, I believe that God is calling us to expand our spiritual lungs and do more of both. I am convinced that we need to go to a much deeper level in both worship and prayer in order to be edified and filled with the Spirit. Those are both corporate functions that I described in those scriptures. As we come together, as we gather, as we worship, as we testify of what God's doing in our lives, as we hear the word, these are all things that edify, build us up. Breathe in. Breathe in. But when we go out those doors, what has entered into us, it needs to flow out of that temple that you carry around, that you are everywhere you go. And I also believe that God is calling us to do this, to go out, so that we can learn how to more effectively distribute the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, when you're out there and you're dealing with people and their needs, you get a lot more dependent upon God. And the more dependent upon God you get, the more desperate you get for His anointing to flow. And you know what? It's going to happen. If we'll persevere, if we'll persist. But as we do both, breathing in, breathing out spiritually, we will see growth in our own lives, and I believe the kingdom of God will be expanded. Now, what's interesting to me is the last few weeks, we've been singing about the river, haven't we? Deep cries out, right? And I'm going to get into that more today. I loved it when I saw the song selections that Nate sent me, because it was talking about the river. And here I've preached on the river. Now, I'm going to show you something this morning. Yesterday, we went down to Crown Point because Lizzie, who is Jason and Karen's daughter, you know, and Maria, who has been living with us for the last year, finished the final day of Impact Team in Crown Point. And in case you don't know what Impact Team is, it's a ministry that equips young people through worship, through prayer, through outreach, and through being a voice for the unborn to really do what we're talking about, go out into the culture and reach people. And then they gather together and they have worship and prayer. I mean, what I'm describing this morning, that's what they've been doing for an entire month. And of course, Scott came here, and I'm going to get into this more in a minute, but Scott came here, and he on Saturday night, wanted us to sing that song, Deep Cries Out. Okay, and so I preached on it the next week, right? Well, while the young people, there's 27 of them on the team, while they were down there, they did this a time together where they did what they called prophetic art. And what they did is they believed that they would just seek God for a picture in their heart that he wanted them to write out on canvas. Okay? Now, I want to show you the picture that Lizzie painted while she was down there for this. Can you see it? A river and trees beside it. Lizzie wasn't here for my message last week. Now, they'd been talking about the river a fair amount, obviously, down there. But I just thought that was just a touch from heaven right there. Well, as I mentioned, I want to share with you what God has been working in my heart and the process that he's been leading me through that led me to preach the message from Ezekiel 47 last week. And the process actually began 2 weeks ago when the Impact Team from Heart for the Next Generation came to Michigan for the weekend. For those who, again, aren't familiar, they are located, they are headquartered, if you want to put it that way, out of the church in Crown Point, which is a sister church of ours through our network, the network of related pastors. And two Saturdays ago, some of us from our church met the Impact Team in the morning at Planned Parenthood in Kalamazoo. To spend a couple of hours there worshiping and praying and prophesying over the property. And after not seeing Maria for a couple of weeks, I was, needless to say, pretty excited, looking forward to seeing her. And I couldn't wait to give her a hug. But when the Impact Team arrived and I saw Maria, when I went to give her a hug, her reaction came across as really distant from me. And she really didn't display any emotion of joy, of excitement. It shocked me. It literally caught me off guard big time. And Dawn wasn't right there with me at that moment when I saw her, but she connected with Maria a little later, and then a little while after that, she said she saw me later, and she said she experienced the same kind of response from Maria. And this was quite a contrast with how Lizzie responded when she saw Jason and Karen, because she literally came running to them, and she was ecstatic to see them. And later on, we also found out that David and Jackie, who Maria had lived with for just under 3 years before she lived with us, had felt a similar kind of response from her. And so, because it had happened that many times, we're like, okay, something's going on here. We don't know what it is, but something's going on. But none of us knew exactly what. Now, before I continue to share any more about what happened with Maria, because that sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? I want to qualify it by saying that yesterday, Dawn and I and Jason and Karen, when we went down to Crown Point to see the girls before they went off to Nicaragua this afternoon, Dawn and I spent some time one-on-one with Maria in the afternoon. And we discussed what had been going on, what was going on inside of her mind and heart when she was here 2 weeks prior, and why she reacted to us the way she did. It wasn't something that we could have a conversation about before that time, because the impact team's schedule was constantly rigorous. There was a lot going on. And so it was something that was the first opportunity that we had to have that conversation. And I want to tell you that we ended up having a very emotional conversation. But in the Lord's goodness, it brought clarity and it actually brought some healing. However, the 2 weeks prior to that conversation, there had been a lot of warfare that the enemy had been sowing against my mind. While at the same time, he was using what had happened to open a place in my heart that had not been accessed literally for many years. I also asked Maria for permission to share with you how she reacted to us at Planned Parenthood. So I didn't just do this without her permission. Because I wanted to be able to share how it affected me and how God used it in my heart. Because I believe it will play a significant role in where I believe God wants to lead us as a church. And bless her heart, she was more than willing to allow me to share her reaction. I'm not going to get into why she reacted the way she did. That's because I believe God's still working something in her personally. And I believe that's something between her and God, and honestly between us and her. But what I do want to share with you this morning is, one, how her reaction has impacted me over the last 2 weeks, what God's been doing in my heart as a result of it, how her reaction connected to me preaching Ezekiel 47, and finally, where I believe God wants us to go as a result of what he's been working in my own heart. So when Maria responded toward us the way she did, I could not figure out what was going on and why. And I felt a pain in my heart that I had not felt in years. Now that may seem ridiculous, because you don't know what was going on. All I can tell you is after it happened, there was such a pit in my stomach. It took me a significant amount of time to get myself back focused in why we were at Planned Parenthood in the first place. And ironically, I watched Dawn go off a distance away and just sit down, and she was going through the same thing. And so it was real to us. Of course, the enemy, I've taught this, the enemy, when we're in vulnerable moments, that's when he wants to come in and really take advantage. Well, during the next few weeks, or excuse me, the next week, I recognized why I was feeling that. I recognized, first of all, that the pain that I was feeling was reminiscent of pain I had felt a long time ago. Two couples that Dawn and I became very close with early in our marriage, at one point later, distanced themselves from Dawn and me, and then ultimately isolated themselves from us. One couple ended up being divorced. And when I was in high school, I wasn't one of the guys who had a lot of friends that we hung out with. I lived outside of town on the farm and that we grew up on, and I never had friends that stayed overnight a lot and that type of thing. And so I never really had in that season of my life what I considered a real close friend. And so when we developed these friendships earlier in our marriage, it was wonderful for us, because it was like I'd never had friendships like that before. And so when those friendships dissolved the way they did, literally for months after both of them, I just was wrenched inside. Anytime I would think about all that we would do together and the conversations and how intimate some of the things that we would share were, and it's gone. And it was a pain that I can't describe. It was very painful. The pain was also reminiscent for me of when my parents divorced when I was in high school. I'm just going to qualify this. I don't mean to make my mom uncomfortable, because that's not the purpose of this, because this is my story. But our nuclear family was all I ever knew. I didn't have the friends. That's where we did things. We grew up going to the fairs, doing things like horse pulls and mule pulls and those kinds of things. And that's where our family connection was. So my family, that was my world. And when that went apart, again, there was another season of that deep, deep pain, sorrow. Well, what really created a major struggle for me over these last couple of weeks was this. In my head, Maria's reaction didn't seem anywhere close to those two situations. But in my heart and in my emotions, I couldn't shake it, what I was feeling. I literally have probably cried more in the last 2 weeks than I've done in the two years prior. And this time, however, the pain I was feeling wasn't on a peer relationship level, and it wasn't on being a child level to my parents. It was more on a father, me being in the father role, daughter relationship. It was on that level. It was interesting because Maria was coming to live with us for 1 year. Now, many of you may have a little insight into why that could be the case, because you know that Dawn and I have struggled with infertility our whole married life. And so currently, we don't have children. And so for Maria to come into our home, there was something going on in my heart with that relationship that was being built. And I also knew that Maria had lived in a few different places in her life. So I know she's felt and experienced the emotions and the challenges that come with bonding with a family and then moving to live with another family. She first experienced that with her family of origin, and then she experienced it in David and Jackie's home and with their family. And now she's going through the transition of leaving our nest, with joining, first of all, the Impact team, and then she's going to be in Nicaragua tonight. And then when she gets back from Nicaragua, there's only a week in between, and she starts the Roar School down in Crown Point for the rest of the year and a little bit into the next. And so when I saw her reaction to us at Planned Parenthood, knowing this about her journey, I could not help but wonder if she was emotionally detaching from Dawn and me. That really wasn't happening. But I can tell you everything in me, the enemy attacked my mind with that. And the problem with my concern about that detachment is that was something I didn't realize what was happening at the moment. But something was happening in my heart while she was living in our home, and I didn't realize it. I really didn't. And the reason I didn't is because, due to some of those other painful experiences, I had actually developed some protective guards around my own heart. They kept me from allowing people to get to a place inside my heart where they could hurt me as deeply as I'd been hurt in the past. Now, I didn't necessarily, you know, the heart is that subconscious part of us. You know, that's why David said, "Hide your word in my heart." You ever been ministering with somebody and he will bring the word out of your heart? And so things are hidden in our heart. And so I didn't realize what I was missing because it was under the surface. All right? And so when Dawn and I accepted Maria into our home, what I didn't anticipate was how much having her in our home would minister to my heart. And having the joy and the privilege of meaningful talks about her joys and her hopes and her struggles, and watching her grow as a person in a relationship with the Lord, and going to her band and choir events and sharing Christmas with her. Can't even tell you how much that meant to me. Teaching her how to drive. And her and I am not a shopper. I don't like shopping. But Dawn and I she'd send us out on these little excursions. And Marie and I'd go to the store and we'd get to laughing and something would happen. And it was just hilarious. And we took her. She'd never been on a family vacation. We took her on a vacation. And so all the while we did these things, she was bypassing the guards that I had set up in my heart. And I didn't even know it was happening. Well, here's where I start to make the connection with what this has to do with me preaching from Ezekiel 47. When Maria first moved into our home last September, just a few weeks later, I actually preached a message from Ezekiel 47. Do any of you remember that? Do you remember me talking about the river at all and some of the things that is in that passage? Does anybody remember that? Some of you do. Well, I'm going to tell you, I forgot it. Now, that's pretty bad when you preach the message and you're the one that forgets it. All right? But I preached that message in September, and then a week after that, I preached another message where I stated that I believe God was bringing us into a new season as a church. We were just about ready to complete our seventh year. And of course, seven is, you know, that year of completion number kind of thing. And so in October, we were going to hit our seventh year. And with all that began and continued to occur with Maria living with us, my focus and attention began to be more and more centered on her needs and things she was involved in. And honestly, as that occurred, the message that I had preached from Ezekiel 47 and this change of season that I had talked about the following week literally had faded from my own memory. Now, it's interesting. I did continue to teach and preach on principles of the supernatural, because I knew that God wanted us to learn more about the supernatural as a church and even how to access it. And I also believed that at the time that it was God wanted me to teach that because he had shown me a vision of apple trees that were literally broken in half, a whole orchard of apple trees. And yet the apples and the leaves on the trees were still healthy, but they were broken. But the Lord showed me, he said, but if they continue to be broken like that, eventually the fruit in the leaves will die as well. And what he spoke to my heart is this is a picture of some folks, even in your own local church, that they need the living water that Ezekiel 47 talks about to experience healing. And that's kind of the summary of what I really preached about. The reason I know that, and I'll tell you that in just a minute. But I saw that picture, and what I missed, and that God has now revealed to me, is that there was something that was incomplete about what he showed me. I had originally, again, applied that to healing, but I had not connected the passage to taking the anointing outside of where the church gathers. And this is what he began to show me, is that you can teach about the anointing all day long, and Lord knows I have, and the supernatural, and the principles that surround it. So I've given you an inlet, but there's not been an outlet. And that outlet has got to happen outside of these walls. And I'm convinced that if we are going to actually enter into the power of God and the supernatural and the anointing, that we're not going to do it by just staying here trying to learn about it. We're going to have to go out and lay hands on people, talk with people, listen to their hurts, listen to their brokenness, talk to them about the things of God, listen to the Holy Spirit to give us words of knowledge or prophecy or do a healing work in someone's life. And then that, guess what? That river will begin to deepen. Well, I had not seen that originally. But I believe that's something he wants to do. Well, on Saturday evening of when the impact team was here, so this is now, we'd gone out into the community on Sunday afternoon and did outreach. The impact team split in teams of three. I talked about that last week, and they did go and do outreach. And it was literally an example of what I believe God's saying we need to be doing. But Saturday evening, we had the impact team came back here, and now we were breathing out Now they were ready to breathe in. And so we came here at the church, and a few of us with the impact team, and I'm telling you, and I described it last week, we had a powerful time of worship and prayer and prophetic ministry, and people were laying on the floor, and Czar was going around prophesying, and it would be like little explosions all over. I mean, people just being touched by the Spirit of God. It was, you know, Morgan, have you ever experienced anything like that before? It was powerful, I will just tell you that. Well, at the beginning of that time, Scott, as we've been singing, asked Jason to play that song, Deep Cries Out. But before he did, he came up here, and he said, I don't believe that the Lord just wants us to go ankle or knee deep tonight in the river. I believe he wants us to go waist deep in the river. And so with that, everything kind of unfolded the way it did. And the next morning, I was getting ready for church, and I wanted to spend some time worshiping the Lord. So I played some worship songs on YouTube while I was in the shower and getting ready. And after I'd gotten ready, I came out into the kitchen, and Dawn said to me, she says, hey, search up that song again on YouTube, and because I want to listen to it. So I got on the iPad and searched it up. And so here's Dawn and I. We're doing Deep Cries Out jamming in the kitchen. You know, we're going after it, you know. And now I know jamming's not a biblical praise term, but, you know, just think of like David when he came into the city, you know, except, you know, no, Dawn and I were not naked when we were dancing, so. But we were going after it, you know, I mean, and then, of course, we played it two times that Sunday, at the beginning of the service and at the end of the service, so you all were here, most of you were here. And so, but after she did that, it clicked into my mind that deep, you know, the ankle, the knee, the thing, but I couldn't remember what passage that was from. See, what I've just described to you about where the next thing God showed me, at that point, he hadn't showed me that yet. And he was beginning to reveal something that I had forgotten. And so he was taking me through a process. And so when that song went on, and Scott had said that, and I remembered it, I went back into my back room, got on the computer, got on BibleGateway.com, and I began searching for that scripture. Sure enough, Ezekiel 47 was the passage. And so I came into church that Sunday. The impact was still here on Sunday morning, and I read, okay, those verses again. Still not remembering that I had preached a message on that. So that next morning on Monday, when I went into my quiet time, I had a notebook that I often will use in my quiet time that honestly I had not journaled in for quite a few months. But I felt led to go get that notebook. You know, it's funny how the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do something, you don't know why, so you just walk over and you do it and go on your way. Well, when I sat down, I started reading back through the excerpts. I came back to September of last year. And I had written an excerpt in there that mentioned Ezekiel 47. And in that description, because I had written out that vision that the Lord had given me. And in there, I had written down that I was going to preach on Ezekiel 47. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How could I forget that? So that Monday afternoon, I went to our church's website, and I went back and listened to my own message. And I listened to the message I preached the following Sunday as well. And what I proclaimed, that I believed that God was calling us, that we were now beginning a new season as a church. But somehow it got put on hold, seemingly. I think it was still part of the season. Well, this is what happened. Listen. Isn't this interesting? That what came to me, and I preached that just shortly after Maria started living in our home. And when Maria came back with the impact team and all this started happening with her, and she's now leaving the nest, God uses Scott to bring that up and takes me through this process to remember what I've spoken over this church, a new word with that. And in the midst of the time, I've been preaching on the supernatural, but not seeing results, and frustrated. And this is what has come out of this. And this is, I guess I, you know, throw my notes out right now. With this happening with Maria and the Lord bringing us back around to this word about going out, what the Lord impressed upon me was that, Scott, I did this in fulfillment of a word I spoke to you at the beginning of the year. When Dawn and I went to the national conference this year, there was a man by the name of Corey Russell. He's a part of International House of Prayer in Kansas City. He preached two messages at our national conference, and it was about shepherding. And as he preached those messages, I literally walked back through my whole call to ministry. I mean, I was remembering details like it was overwhelming me. And as I went through that process at the national, I haven't had a conference like that in years either. The Lord spoke to my heart and He said, "I'm going to take you to a new level of shepherding." And for months I've prayed on that one and not been able to figure out what He was saying, what He was talking about. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, I now know what that means. The new level of shepherding is meaning He got to a new level of my heart that hasn't been accessed all these years through Maria. And that heart is His Father's heart. I've known what it's like to be a son. I've never known what it's like to be a father. That night when we were there in that worship time, I was still struggling with what Maria said to me, or what happened. And I remember sitting in the pew and going, "Lord, we're here for these young people and what you're doing in the Spirit, and I'm still feeling stuck. Like, I can't get beyond this." And I remember watching all these young people and all that was going on, and I just began to weep. Because I said, "Lord," again, I was feeling like I was losing her. And I said, "Lord, I just want to be a dad. I just want to be a dad." Again, that was a level of pain I had not been accessed. I mean, Dawn and I have been through infertility treatments and all kinds of stuff. And that's been years ago now. And the endocrinologist said, "We've done everything that we can do. We can't do any more. So you just move on in life, right?" I mean, I still believe that what God's going to do, don't get me wrong, but nonetheless, doesn't change the heart, hurt, and emotion. And so the Lord, with Maria, she got past my guards. It opened that old place. And so I felt something that I hadn't felt for a long time. But I told the Lord, "Now that you've opened this part of my heart, and I see how you did it and what you're doing, I won't close it." I wasn't going to close it to her, even if she did distance herself. I determined I was not going to close my heart to her. I've closed my heart, honestly, and I'm just going to say this, not only for my sake, but for my mom's sake. because of that hurt, I didn't realize that I had closed a door to my parents. Because it hurt me. And I didn't want to be hurt again. But I will not, Mom, close that door to you anymore. This is what I want you to know. The Lord gave me the story of the prodigal son. The son had left, wanted the inheritance, wasted it on wild living. I'm not going to read the passage, but this is the preaching part of the message. The son came to his senses and he came back home. And it says the father ran to his son. And he said, get the robe. You realize this guy was covered in pig slop, right? Dusty from the desert. That was a sign that he's part of the family. He put the ring on his finger, which is a sign of authority. Sandals on his feet, which meant he wasn't a slave, he was a son. And he said, kill the fatted calf. The son of mine who was lost is found. He's alive. He was dead. Let's celebrate. Folks, we often think of that in terms of being Christians who have children that turn away from God and we're waiting for them to come back. But you know how God views that passage? From the position of the fall. When mankind, the whole human race turned away from him. And God is constantly longing and looking, waiting for those people to come home. Now that parable follows two other parables. The parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep. Now the father waited in the parable of the lost son, but in those two parables, the woman went searching and searching and searching until she found her coin. The shepherd left the 99 sheep to go after the one until he found it and brought it home. These are all descriptions. I believe that's why Jesus taught all three of the parables together, because one of the parables couldn't give the full concept of what he was trying to get at. And so what the Lord showed me is he says, now that you know what it feels like to be a father, to have a father's heart with one that you felt like was distancing herself from you, you know how I feel towards the law. And what's going to move you outside of these walls, meaning me, but also us, is not a sense of obligation, not a sense that I should do my Christian witnessing duty this week to make God happy. No, it's the heart of the Father that we have a sense of his heart. Now, this is the other thing. There's so many applications that I could give here. I can't even tell you the pain that it felt when I felt like my love was not being reciprocated back to Maria. Folks, this opened my heart to love God more deeply. In a way I honestly couldn't quite get to him before in worship. Because now I knew He desired me to reciprocate my love to Him like Maria I wanted from her. And so this morning, know that that's the Father's heart for you. That's one application. Two, He hungers and desires for closeness. He longs for desire from us. That's crazy to me. Eternal God, He really has no need. He's sufficient in Himself, but He loves it when we reciprocate His love by expressing our love back to Him. That's His heart. Maybe you're here today. Can you guys play? Maybe you're here today. Can you stand up with me right now? And just by hearing my story, you can realize that your heart has been closed off to some people from hurt in your own life. God may be speaking to your heart to say, I want to open your heart. Because this is what I'm learning as I've done so. I don't need to close it anymore. Because if I keep it open, if I do get hurt, I can just let Him in. And He can heal what I'm feeling. I'm telling you, these last 2 weeks, when I've been in tears, the Father has ministered to me deeply. He's shown me His love when I was hurting. You might need that today. What I'm really praying, church, is this. Ask God to give you the Father's heart for the prodigals of the world, the ones that haven't turned back toward home yet. What I learned is God expresses His heart through you and me. That's how they're going to know the Father's love, you and me. That's how they're going to feel His presence and power, you and me. That's how they're going to get healed, through you and me. He'll do the work. He'll do the healing. It's His anointing. But He needs vessels in this planet to be the conduits through which that anointing flows. Like I said last week, God didn't call us to be containers. He calls us to be conduits. Are we as a church ready to go to that place? We're going to have to change some things in our schedule to do it. It's going to cost us something. Is that the treasure of our heart, the Father's heart? I'm going to keep challenging us, church. God wants us to go out. Let's have the conversations on how we're going to get it done. But we've got to do it. Amen? This morning, if you're needing a touch from your Father in heaven, then I want to invite you to come and just, as an act of, Lord, I'm coming to You, make use of this area up front. We'll consider it our altar. It is an altar. I don't believe I'm the only one that God wants to open a heart to. He wants to open our wounded hearts. He wants to heal those hearts. Let Him do it. I will tell you, if you do, you'll get His heart, and it's a sweet place to be. When we talked with Maria, yesterday. We got the air cleared. It wasn't anything the devil was trying to tell me. And in my head I knew that, but my heart just couldn't quite get there. But we got there yesterday. And I told her this story, that Maria, you got into a place in my heart no one has gotten in a long, long time. And she began to cry. And she told me how that they were talking about, or what she wanted from the Father is she wanted adoption papers from the Father in heaven. And so last night at their closing banquet, I can't wait to hear what happened because I didn't hear it. Lizzie kind of told, Morgan was with us, and she told Morgan that the Impact team had made up adoption papers. But when she told us that, she just cried because she received the love of the Father. And she says, I just want God somehow to come down and touch me and show me his heart. And I said, well, Maria, I'm not God. But I said, all I know is he put his heart in my heart for you. And if this can show you anything, he does love you. You might need that today. Do you need your adoption papers? Let him minister, amen? If you would like us to pray with you this morning, Dawn, you want to come up here with me, honey? We'll minister to you about that. I'm just going to pray and just make use of this time. If you just want to go to the Lord. But church, this is the where we're going. Got to get outside. Take the river out there. It's got to get deeper out there. Amen. All right, let's pray.